Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
As close as we get nowadays to a sports day, an extended day of programming, right into the Belmont Stakes at 5:30. So I'll take you till noon. Gordon Damer will take you from noon to 2. Anita Marks will tag in and take you from 2 to 5:30. And then the Belmont Stakes for the, what is it, like the 120th running, I think, of the Belmont Stakes. It's a mile and an eighth today, folks. So if you're some of these purists that say the mile and a half is the true test of a horse's endurance, you're not going to get that. It's a mile and an eighth because it's the first leg of the Triple Crown, where in actuality, it's typically the last leg of the Triple Crown. So if you're one of these 70 games does not constitute a baseball season, there's an asterisk. You might feel the very same way with the Belmont Stakes. I do not, as far as any of these things are concerned. If you win a World Series playing 70 games, you win a World Series playing 70 games. I mean, Washington in football won the Super Bowl in 81, right? Shortened season, won, okay, they won it. Washington did it in 87 as well. Doesn't matter. If you win, you win. Now, I don't like, and this is something we'll get into when we get into the world of baseball, and that is, you hear that, you know what the California rule is? They play it in Little League. My son plays with the California rule. And in Little League, it's passable. But in Major League Baseball, they're talking about, and I promise not to really complain about anything, but I do not like this. And I'm going to spend a lot of time on it right now. And by the way, as always, the phone lines are open on a Saturday, 800-919-3776. And that is, in extra innings, they're really throwing out the possibility, and this really might happen, of starting with a runner on second base and nobody out. So the games don't go 13, 14, 15 innings. You'll probably have a quick ending to the game. I don't know. I don't love it, but I guess, as we say in this current situation, it kind of is what it is, right? So 800-919-3776. And there was three ideas that I had to start the show today. And Ty and I spent hours earlier this morning. We were up when the sun was not going over things. Do we start with Major League Baseball and the fact that they can't figure out a way to agree at 60, they can't get it to 65 or 67 or 70 games is ridiculous. We could go with Jamal Adams, who seems ridiculous as well right now, and we'll get into both of those. But I think we need to start with what's going on in the world as far as this COVID, guys. You know, a lot of people are starting to, well, we're a little freed up and summer is here. And I mean, do you see what's happening across the country as far as COVID-19 is concerned? They are shutting down every Major League Baseball facility and scrubbing it. Angels players tested positive. Phillies players tested positive. In college sports, you have Houston players testing positive. Texas players testing positive. Alabama players testing positive. Clemson players, a lot of them, testing positive. Austin Matthews in the NHL. You know, this is not fourth line, you know, guy on the San Jose Sharks. This is Austin Matthews, one of the faces of hockey, tests positive. NHL confirms 11 coronavirus cases among its players right now. Guys, this is not done. And every time Dr. Fauci speaks, and I think I saw this, and this would be a tremendous get that he's going to be on Carlin's show Monday night at 7:30. So I wanted to promote that. But the K show? This is you in my ear telling me the K show. I could swear that Carlin tweeted out that he's going to be on with Carlin 7:30 on Monday. I'm now being told that changed and he will be on the K show. So that's a great get by Andrew and the K show. But let's look at this and where we are and what's going on. And all the people that tell you it's not necessary to wear masks. And I don't even want to turn this into like anything like that of the necessity to wear a mask, which it seems somewhat obvious, right? Let's see, I can wear a mask and then odds distinctly go down that I won't get this thing. I can still travel about the cabin, but if I wear a mask, the odds are lesser that I get it. I would think that that'd be something you'd wanted to do. But the point is that we, you know, the start of baseball, once we come to a deal, July 19th is the date we're talking about. And hockey, and we're talking about August at some point, and the NBA, we're talking about late July, and we're excited, and it's happening, and we're moving forward. Guys, do you see what's happening right now? This thing is running rampant throughout the world of sports, and here is the concerning thing. We haven't even gotten to the world of sports yet. We're not even back to where, all right, things are starting to percolate. Teams are gathering in Florida. Teams are gathering in Arizona. Have you seen the spikes going on? Oklahoma, Texas, Arizona, Florida. And listen, let's be honest. Why is it spiking so much in those places? Because those are the places that seemingly didn't take it as seriously as we did. Right? We're the area that took it tremendously seriously. We locked in our homes. We didn't go out. We were fearful of everything. Now we've worn masks for the most part, and we have crushed it. But to say that okay, you know, we're done with this, we're past, that's what a lot of people, it feels like they think. We're done with it. We're past it. Let's move forward. I got baseball here when they agree. I got basketball here. I got hockey here. I'm going to have the U.S. Open. I got college football in August. I got the NFL in September. I don't know. And I'm not telling you that these things are not going to happen, but I will tell you, I don't know. And if you listen to the scientists, the people, in fact, that we should listen to, they don't know. I mean, Dr. Fauci has told us that football, the way we're accustomed to it in September, is very unlikely. Now, the NFL basically had a retort to him of, you know what, we'll do what we're going to do. And they will. But explain to me. And it does not add up. You know, they're talking about all these precautions, and we'll have it in facilities, and we'll test, and we'll take temperatures, and guys won't be able to shower together, and there'll be social distance. It's football. The nuts and bolts of it are you have two guys crashing into each other. So you can't play football and socially distance. You can't play basketball and socially distance. I don't know if you can play hockey and socially distance. Now, at least in hockey, you have a mask on, and at least there's some kind of a barrier. Baseball, I guess, but you're right on top of the catcher, and the umpire's right on top of the catcher. So, look, I want sports back as much as anybody, and I think that we will wind up getting it back, but the fact that the 30 Major League Baseball teams have had to shut all their facilities to scrub them down, and we haven't even really started yet, can't feel great about that, can you? Now, I'm hopeful. I think we're all hopeful. But I think you have to be realistic. And they're talking about a tremendous second wave. And you've seen what MLB has said and Fauci has told them. You got to be done by the end of September. So I don't know what the NFL does. I mean, the smart thing to do, I mean, let's be honest here. The smart thing to do for any sport that wants to have a realistic chance of coming back is to put these teams collectively in a bubble, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that go without saying that the smartest thing to do is put everyone in a bubble? Now, I don't know how you do it in the NFL. I mean, do you lock 30 teams in a bubble and have two or three stadiums in one city? And the NFL won't do it. I think of all sports that's just going to say, all right, Dr. Fauci, we got this. They've shown you in the past that they don't typically care about what outsiders think. Now, this is different, but does this continue along that same trend? Baseball's heading there. I'm telling you, there's now been recommendations. There's now been the thought that baseball should go in a bubble, and they should. But here's the question. Do you go in a bubble in Arizona where this thing is spiking to no end? Do you go in a bubble in Florida where this thing is spiking to no end? Every day now they're having higher numbers than they did the day before, that the curve is heading up instead of down like it is here? I don't know. I don't know where you do it, but you sit here on June 20th and you can't feel great about the situation that we're in. And I'm only looking at it from a sports standpoint at the moment. I'm not looking at it big picture and what does this mean for our country. And I get it. We all want sports back, but does it make sense? I mean, just think about it. Does it make sense to lock these guys away in God knows where, not let them out and play games? Or does it make sense for the Mets to be getting on an airplane and traveling down to play Miami? and then traveling back to Washington, and then traveling up to Boston if they play them. And then, I don't know. To me, it just makes sense to stay in a bubble. And if you're a player that's just not willing to do it, or the health risk is a concern, or whatever the case may be, then you don't play. And college football is, I mean, what a disaster they're going to be. I mean, you see, you know, there's certain things that they sneak up on you, like, boy, I didn't see that coming. College football, I mean, you can see it miles away, is going to be an absolute disaster. Because you're going to have some schools that are probably going to say, you know what, it's not worth it. Like Michigan, you see it already. Two of the most iconic schools in all of college football. You got Michigan, you got Ohio State. Michigan came out, 6 weeks ago and said, we don't know if there's going to be a college football season for us. Ohio State came out and said, we expect 50,000 people at every game that we play. You couldn't have two more polar opposite viewpoints of what's going on. And Michigan and Ohio are connected to each other. So the truth is, I don't know. But I look at the headlines. Two Angels players test positive. MLB closing all spring training sites in Florida and Arizona. NHL confirms 11 coronavirus cases. Watney, first PGA Tour player with COVID-19. Austin Matthews test positive for corona. And here's the story. MLB revisiting the bubble plan for the season. And I think it's probably the way to go. If you're Major League Baseball, and Jared Diamond and Ben Cohen of the Wall Street Journal reporting, MLB officials are revisiting a long-abandoned bubble plan for the 2020 season after multiple COVID-19 diagnosis among the league ranks. That's the way to go. That's the safest thing to do. And I don't know if it's Texas or Arizona or Florida anymore. But if you could get three parks in some area that's warm-weathered or domed, it's probably the right thing to do. 800-919-3776. So we'll get into Jamal Adams. We could do Jamal Adams 2 weeks ago. We could have done Jamal Adams 4 weeks ago. We could have discussed Jamal Adams 2 months ago. We could probably tape the conversation we're going to have surrounding Jamal Adams today during this show, and I could not show up for work at some point in August, and we could just replay that. Because it's not going to stop. Either you pay him or he's miserable. That's it. That's it. You pay him and he's happy and you cave. You move on from him and you trade him, or you keep him, you play hardball with him and he's miserable. That's it. Those are your choices with Jamal Adams. So we'll get into that, but it's the same saga. And everyone says, well, Joe Douglas seems so good. We'll get into that in a little bit later. Then Major League Baseball. And it's embarrassing. We'll get into that as well. Stump Rothenberg. You know what a Saturday entails, for God's sakes. Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. You got Rich Kleiman is going to join us, as he adores the show, at 11:30. We'll bring Ty in to give us his wisdom on the world going on right now. You know how it works. 800-919-3776. Rothenberg with you on a Saturday morning.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Sadly, become very accustomed to since mid-March. I think it was March 11th that they shut down the NBA. And then that was the ridiculous March 12th where they played that first half of the St. John's Creighton game and then decided they should stop it. So we're well more than 3 months. And I think I saw something. This stinks. It's the longest that we've ever gone by the end of the weekend without having professional sports since it started in this country. And this will be the only spring in the history of this country since baseball originated in like 1874 or something like that, that there'll be no baseball at all. It stinks. 800-919-3776. But we have to do the right thing. And if it means that we can't play and it's not supposed to be, then it's not supposed to be. So, this is the time of the show that we welcome in my my producer, who everyone is very fond of, and that would be one Ty D. Butler, Newhouse School of Communications. Good morning, Ty.
Good morning. I am in a jubilant mood today.
That makes me very happy. Jubilant would mean that you're effervescent, that you're jovial. Why so jubilant today?
Well, yesterday, as we all know, or maybe we all should know by now, it was Juneteenth.
Yes.
And it culminated for me in a celebration held by Alicia Keys and John Legend on Instagram, where they, you know, played a music, a lot of their songs, and that goes back to my childhood where I loved them. Now, of course, Dave Rothenberg wouldn't know Alicia Keys if she sat on him. But
very, very unnecessary for you to be in a jubilant mood explaining to the world why you're in such a mood and then to take shots at me. You're better than that.
Dave, you couldn't pick John Legend out of a lineup if he was the only one standing there.
Not true at all. And I'll tell you, John Legend was I believe voted the sexiest man alive, married to Chrissy Teigen.
Good job.
I know exactly who he is.
Good job. I'm proud of you.
All right. So the fact that you're going to take pot shots at me when you're trying to promote how happy you are is not exactly a great way to go about it.
Maybe a little too aggressive, but it harkened back to my childhood. So music, you know, in this moment in time where there's a lot going on, a lot of negativity. When you have something like that happen on Instagram Live, the entertainment value was there, and it was unbelievable for me. So I'm in a great mood today,
well,
and
glad.
It sets the scene for what should be a phenomenal day.
I'm glad. Yeah, we got Gordon at noon, and then Anita, and then a shortened Belmont Steak. So I'm very, very pleased about that. Now, if you wanted to take appropriate shots at me, you would have said, Instagram, something you haven't really figured out yet, Rothenberg, and you're not even able to be on. That would have been the way to go about it.
Yeah, you've got
to
be better at social media, because I know you're on it a lot because you consume a lot of the information there.
I like
there.
To see what's going on. I don't love to tweet all the time what's going on.
But you need to. It's the platform that everyone's using, and you're a talent. You're growing in this industry, so you've got to use it to your ability.
Yeah, I wish I could hire a social media manager to just kind of do the stuff for me.
Yeah, me too. Ty D. Butler, by the way, that's where I am on Twitter.
Ty, look at you promoting yourself. So you're very active then, is what you're saying, huh?
I'm not as active as I should be, but I'm better than you, which is not saying much, I guess.
Wow. So you woke up today with your number one goal is I just want to take shots all over the place at Rothenberg.
Nah, Dave, can I just ask you a quick question, by the way?
Yeah.
Maybe this is not up your alley, but Tim Hardaway Sr., where did he go to school?
UTEP.
How about Kelly Oubre Jr.?
Kansas.
Oh, just felt like asking you those two random players.
I appreciate it.
I don't know why.
I know. I see where your head's at. All right, let's get to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. There's almost... There probably are some, but almost no player, certainly no big-time player, probably in the last 40 years that you could ask me where he went to school and I wouldn't know. For the most part. There's probably one or two that, you know, would slip past the goalie, but for the most part, that's my wheelhouse.
So how do you do this, though? Is it you
I don't
during
know.
The
well,
draft?
I watch a lot of college basketball, so I kind of have it ingrained in my head.
So when the commissioner announces who is being selected...
And I'm probably not as good lately, to be honest. Like, I don't follow the NBA as much as I used to. And I like every guy who goes to college for a year, kind of some might slip by. But for the most part, I could sit and tell you where just about everyone went to college.
So
I don't know. It's a skill.
So when Adam Silver says, with the number 3 overall pick, then the New York Knicks select blank, can he just toss to you and you say where the college this kid is from?
I'll tell you, I'd be better than Canty at it. That's for sure.
Speaking of taking shots, no need to do that.
Well, he got it wrong.
He was nervous.
He went up there and said the wrong school.
He was given the wrong card.
He was given the wrong card, but he still, like, if you gave me a card that said R.J. Barrett, and it was like, all right, Rothenberg, go ahead and announce it. And I went up and said, and the card said North Carolina. And I said, R.J. Barrett. I wouldn't have enough conviction and confidence to know R.J. Barrett was Duke.
Well, maybe he didn't look at it quick enough.
He said he knew.
He just, I don't know.
He
maybe.
Said he knew. Second guessed and then didn't pull the trigger.
Why do you have to compare yourself to him? I don't think you should throw your teammates under the bus.
Probably not. Let's go to the calls. 800-919-3776. Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, good morning, my friend. And I first of all want to wish you what I know will be a difficult day, but a happy Father's Day. And I want you, as a friend of mine, to thrive on the memories. And your children and your wife will be very supportive to you. So that comes from my heart to you. Okay, now, I told you back in April, Kyrie reminded me, I've been saying since April, and I said it on your program, that I don't think any sports will be played. I think this virus is much stronger than we ever anticipated it to be. And I said to you one of the days this week, I called twice, that it's just made its way from the northeast, and it's kind of making a loop around in the southeast, southwest, and to the far west.
Well, it's going to run roughshod over the south and southwest because they don't seem to believe that it's all that legitimate, Spike.
Right. I agree with that. And I've also been a proponent of the racial inequalities in this country and the protest. And I said it last week to you that protesting causes a problem. I'm all for protesting, and I'm all for racial inequality support. I'm a big proponent of that. But it causes a problem of social distancing. You can't protest and keep your distance. It doesn't work that way. So there are going to be issues we have to deal with. But I really think that we should all take a step back, and maybe in the spirit of our fathers and our families, et cetera, and let's put our foot forward and get racial equality to the forefront. Forget about the sports for a while. I know you got to swallow hard to do it, especially you with football.
But no, why jeopardize? You know, Spike, I don't think people can do it. It's part of the fabric of this country. And on top of being part of the fabric of this country, it's big business, Spike. It's huge television money. It's big revenue for these teams. So I think it's easy to say in a perfect world, yeah, you know what, let's not worry about sports and just worry about social justice. But I don't think it plays off like that.
Dave, one last thing, and thanks for the time. And again, for tomorrow, just hang in there. I really believe that it's going to come to the forefront, and I'm hoping and praying it doesn't, when a named athlete succumbs to this disease. I'll leave it at that.
I hope that's not the case. And here's my question. Thanks for the call, and happy Father's Day to you as well, Spike. And that is, does it even have to be a big name athlete? Right? I mean, does it even have to be, like, if one athlete comes down with COVID and winds up hospitalized and, God forbid, passes away, even if it's not the superstar of any sport, is that enough to scare leagues and players straight and say, you know, this is just not worth it? Because it's scary to think that we haven't opened up yet. And there's a laundry list of teams that I can read from right here in front of me that have guys testing positive. I mean, Austin Matthews, a golfer that I'm not familiar with. 11 players in the NHL. They're closing Major League Baseball spring training sites to scrub them down. And we haven't even convened yet to start anything. Let's go to Marvin in the Bronx. Marv, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, first of all, Dave, I'd like to wish you a happy Father's Day. You
know, thanks, Marv.
You know, and be a man for everybody. Look, Dave, I work for the MTA. We've lost 130 guys. They're dead. So I'm not thinking, I love sports as much as anybody, as much as a major part of my growing up and my adulthood, my adolescence. And I'm really not feeling sports. I want a vaccine to be developed so this thing.
Well, Marv, I mean, come on, I'm not saying that. Of course that's what we want, vaccine over anything else. But in the interim, as we wait for it, I think we would like to have the resumption of sports if that's something that we safely could have happen.
Well, you got to look at my perspective. I got 130 fellow employees buried. I went to a depot. I was security for the MTA. I went to a depot, and I was walking through the lobby, and they had photos of guys. I thought it was photos of guys that were awarded and stuff. Said, no, they died. They died, and I knew every one of them. And
that's
I love
awful,
sports.
Marv, and my heart breaks for you and for all these families. Absolutely.
And every day I go to work, you know, I'm in contact with people every day, and I say, wow, man. You know, I have to deal with this, but I pray that I get through this. But like you said, Dave, the bottom line is this is big money, and we do live. And like Leonard Lewin once told me, the great sports writer, I used to work for him, he said, remember one thing, forget all the fanciness and all the frivolousness around sports. It's a business, and it's about making money. And I understand that. But yeah, but people cannot in this country be that myopic where they don't see people dying. I mean, it's like a scoreboard every year. How many people have died?
It's awful.
You know, we got to look at that.
It's terrible. And what are we,
Dave,
well over 110,000 people? It's terrible,
can
Marv.
I tell you a little, Can I throw you a little side note?
Yeah, okay.
Hey, I know how you're building up Ty's career, but I can never be friends with Ty because he went to that school up north. We could never be friends.
Yeah, he's a serious. See, I'm bigger picture guy. And Marv, have a happy Father's Day and thanks for the call. And this is what I don't think Ty appreciates and or understands. There are many that would look at Ty and say, no, don't want any part of him. Went to Syracuse. Shouldn't get the discussion, the adulation that he gets on your show, Rothenberg. And I don't do that. See, I look at Ty as the individual. Great kid, thoughtful, eloquent, knowledgeable, and I'm able to look past the foible and or flaw that I think all of us see in one Ty D. Butler and still bring him to the forefront.
Thank you for that to mention burgeoning star, but I appreciate it.
That, in fact, is what I'm able to and have started to do. Now, before we take a break, we'll do that in a moment. In 800-919-3776, you see my call screen in front of you, yes?
I do, indeed.
Do we have someone lined up for Stump Rothenberg now?
That is not what's in front of me. Oh, yes. Actually, it just popped up on my screen. Yes. There is someone an hour before the segment begins lined up for Stump Rothenberg.
Wow.
This is what you do. The genius of Dave.
I mean, people are lined up. I mean, someone on a Saturday morning says, I have things to do, but nothing takes the cake more than getting on Stump Rothenberg, lines up at 9:30 in the morning.
And to think that you're not the only radio show host in this market who does a Stump show. For them to do that is kind
yeah, but
of
I created it, and I mean, you know, they're copying it. It's nice in some aspects, no?
Or maybe pathetic. It depends on how you look at it.
It depends on, listen, you can look at it in any number of ways. If I created Stump Rothenberg, but look what I've done with the whole trivia game. And I was told originally, we don't care for this. And I persevered. And I pushed. And I fought.
Overcame all the odds.
And you might not even know this. There was a time Stump Rothenberg was taken off the air.
Wow. How'd that work out?
And then I was finally told, you can bring it back, but it can only be sports. And I said, no, I will not compromise. I said, it's all-encompassing or it's nothing.
Also, this is an MLB PA versus MLB situation.
Very much so. And I said, no. I said, if it comes back, it comes back with all its form. All the way. Every tentacle that it has. I said, fine. And now that is, as look where we are now in the landscape.
I'm proud of you, man. You overcame all the obstacles.
All the obstacles. 800-919-3776. We'll get to more of your calls, and we got to get to the safety for the Jets, who every time there's a slow news day, it's like he does us a favor. No, 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 guys. Not a lot going on. Hold my beer.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
If you can, I mean, we just established that we're something around 39 and 15 over the last 4 weeks. Stump Rothenberg, I mean, you know it. It's ingrained in you. Ty, who is Stump Rothenberg brought to you by?
Andrew M. Cohen.
And what kind of offices would those be?
The law offices.
That's right. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of one Andrew M. Cohen. Now, just to explain a new addition to the show, to the segment, which is really, really streamlined and it's wonderful. And it hasn't happened often. But if there's a question which is just absurd, I might turn to Ty and say, is this within bounds? And he can say yes or no, it is, or it isn't. You agree that that's added to the flavor of Stump Rothenberg, yes?
Absolutely, because there are some times where callers sneak through. They get past our first layer of defense. So we've got to, you know.
That's right.
Fix that.
Many layers. Many, many layers. All right. Phone lines all lit up. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. Sam, lead us off on a Saturday edition of Stump Rothenberg.
How you doing, Dave?
What's up, Sam?
Doing well, doing well. Working on the board game. You know.
Okay, good. We got to get that out at some point.
Yeah, working on prototypes on pizza boxes. So,
All right. Where are you going today? What's your question?
Television.
Okay.
All right. On Saturday Night Live, cast members often host the show. Chevy Chase is the cast member who's hosted the show the most times. Who's second?
So give me the question again. So this is most cast members that have hosted?
Yes, most cast members. So Chevy Chase is the first. Who is the second?
Ooh. That's a nice question. So could it be Steve Martin? Could it be Adam Sandler? I'm going to guess, and I don't know that I'm going to get this right. So, who are the big cast members? I mean, Gilda Radner, but sadly she... Dan Aykroyd. John Belushi, but obviously he didn't live long enough. Dana Carvey. Ay, ay, ay. Jimmy Fallon, but I don't think Will Ferrell could be another one. Ay, I'm going to... I don't know. I do not know. I'm going to guess. Eddie Murphy? I'm going to guess. I really don't know. All right, let me just take a guess. I'm going to guess okay. Eddie Murphy.
You are incorrect, sir.
The answer would be?
Tina Fey.
Really? Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed Tina Fey. All right, 0-1. Good job. I would have never guessed Tina Fey. I didn't think she's hosted that many times. Let's go to Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Basketball, Dave.
Okay.
Which undrafted player, excluding Moses Malone, who was an ABA draftee, has scored the most career points?
So most points for an undrafted NBA player?
Yes.
This is a career?
Yes, for their career.
This is probably going to go back a ways. Ben Wallace, I think, was undrafted. But he's not going to be a guy that's... I wonder if John Starks could be that guy. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna go with John Starks.
No, the answer is David Wesley.
Oh, and two. Ty, you must be like a you-know-what in a pig in you-know-what right now.
Yeah, but you know what I'm going to attribute it to? What? That call we had last segment just threw everyone off. It was one of the worst calls we've ever had. And I think that you've got to find a way
Don't
to get past
excuses
that.
Excuses for me.
I'm not making
I'm
excuses. 0-2. You're 0-2, but let's shake it off. We got this.
I'm not saying we can't rebound, but it's a rough start.
And there's a lot of pressure on you because Chris Carlin's listening. He just texted me.
Well, why does that put pressure on me?
Well, because you've got to show out.
Oh, please. Joe in Holbrook. Joe, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. MLB.
Okay.
Who was the first ever player to hit a home run for the Mets and the Yankees in the same season?
For Mets and Yankees in the same season. Ty, you know this?
I do not.
I don't think I know it either. Mets and Yankees. Now, Chris Young did it, but I don't know if it was the same season. You remember him, the outfielder?
Yes, I do. Utility player.
Yeah. Supposed to be a big-time player. Never developed into that. I don't know. I'll guess Chris Young, but I'm not sure about this.
It was not. It was Dave Kingman in 1977.
77. All right, so this is an awful start.
This is unprecedented, my friend.
Yeah. 0-3. How do you find that you're enjoying the questions?
Yeah, the questions are...
Well, you're fine because they're stumping me, so you're fine with anything.
No, I always say this. I live for the entertainment value.
Okay. All right, let's go to Phil in White Plains. Phil, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay, I got a baseball question. Over the last decade... Okay. Who leads Major League Baseball in hits?
So we're saying in the decade of what? Of the 2010s?
Yeah, so 2010 through 2019.
All right. Most hits in the 2010s. Ty, you have any idea on this one?
If I had to guess, it would be the active leader in hits. And I don't want to give you.
I wonder if Robinson Cano could be this guy.
I would guess Pujols.
No, because he's really slowed down, and he's never a guy that got tons of hits. I'm going to go with Cano.
That is correct.
All right. All right. So you tried to lead me down a path of 0-4, and I refused. No, because if you look at Pujols, he's not a 200 hit guy. Never, never, never. All right, we're 1-3. I feel like we've righted the ship a little bit. Let's bring in Kathy in Yorktown. Kathy, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, guys. I just have to say before I begin that Ty made a statement last week that was just so shocking.
Were you disturbed by what he said, Kathy?
Very, very disturbed.
He what did
said he,
say?
He is not a fan of ice cream. Like, what? That is impossible. How
it's
you not
almost,
be
it's almost like he hails from another planet with his statement.
Exactly.
Like that, right?
Exactly. So that calls into question all his criticisms of me switching fandom at age 15. So,
well, in fairness to Ty, though, switching fandom is just
all right.
A
well, we're not going to go down that path now. We'll
you
never
brought it up.
All right. Well, in Ty's honor, I'm going with ice cream this week.
Okay.
Okay. So for Father's Day and all those Fudgy the Whale cakes for whales of a dad, where was the original Carvel store located that
now,
just closed in 2008, unfortunately, after 80 years?
Are you looking for the area?
I'll take the town or the street.
I believe it was Hartsdale, New York.
You got it.
Yeah. That would be 2-3. And that's a very difficult question, Ty.
It's difficult, but when you're struggling from the field, they say that if you're a shooter, you go to the free throw line, you hit that first free throw, all of a sudden you shake it off and you've rebounded.
Shoot.
2-3.
Shoot.
2-3.
Now we're 2-3, and now we can see 500, and we're slowly walking our way back right now. Let's go to Jatine in Brooklyn. Jatine, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how you doing, Dave? How's everything?
I'm okay.
All right.
2-3. Back to better standing.
That's good. I'm glad. All right, I think you're going to get this. It's a tennis question.
Okay.
From 1990 to 1999, this is regarding the U.S. Open Men's Championship.
Okay.
For that 10-year span, only four men won the championship. Two are obvious, Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi. From the other two, can you name any one of them? If you can name two, great, but just one of the other two.
All right. Give me this again. What's this question?
All right. U.S. Open Men's Singles Championship. From 1990 to 1999. 10-year span, we only had four champions. Two of those are Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi. Other two, who are they? You can just name one of them.
Oh, I could name them both for you. I believe Patrick
really?
Rafter from Australia and Stefan Edberg from Sweden.
That's awesome.
And that's 3-3. Did you hear how he reacted? Quote, that's awesome,
yeah,
what he said.
Full admiration.
3-3. 3-3. You didn't think we'd see 500 again, did you? Be honest.
Of course I did. Come
no,
on. This is what we do here. We create magic.
Let's go to Jordan in Jersey. Jordan, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. So I've got a Big East basketball question.
Big East basketball.
Pre-2013, so before the conference split up, which coach had the highest winning percentage in the history of the conference?
Highest winning percentage? I mean, it could be Boeheim. It could be John Thompson, but John Thompson struggled. I'm gonna guess Boeheim. But no, wait. No, it can't be Calhoun because he struggled. I'll go Boeheim.
Nope, Jamie Dixon of Pitt.
Ah. Who's no longer with Pitt. 3-4. 3-4. Let's go to Miles in Jersey. Miles, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Miles.
I have a question for you about American presidents.
Okay.
Who was the only American president who never married?
Oh, I've heard this before. Oh, God. Is it not true? Is it Buchanan? Wait, hang on. It might be Buchanan, but now I can't think if that's right or not. Oh, God. I think it's Buchanan.
Is that your answer?
Oh, God. James Buchanan, final answer.
You are correct.
There you go, my friend.
4-4. This is a struggle today. You know what this is like?
You're grinding it out.
This is like the great that just doesn't have the A game, but at the end, you know, like DeGrom gives you 20 games where you're like, wow, he was unbelievable. And then he has like 10 or 12 where you're like, he wasn't DeGrom, but he gave you 7 innings of 2-run ball anyhow. That's where we are right now.
That's exactly where we are.
You would agree with that, yes?
The Mets stink, and we're actually a fully operational
team. Stop. Do we go one more here?
Let's take a break here.
Take a break.
Let's do that.
Let's take a break. We'll cool down. We'll hydrate. We'll come back. We'll finish up Stump Rothenberg with you on a Saturday, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
When we left off on Stump Rothenberg, I believe, Ty, we sat at 4-4. Is that correct?
500, Mark. We rebounded.
Now, you might look at 4-4 and just be tuning in and say, Dave, we have a higher expectation of you. 4-1 in our last 5. We started out at a paltry 0-3, and we've hit 4 of our last 5. So clearly trending in the right direction, yes?
Yes, we are.
Let's continue along. Kevin, West Orange, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, that's correct, Dave. I hope everything is going well. I just thought it was a geographical question.
Okay.
The continent of South America, there is only one English-speaking country in that continent. And do you know what it is?
Give me this one more time.
It's the only English-speaking country in South America.
Oh, it could be Guyana, but hang on a second. Now is it when you say English speaking, it's like the native language of that country.
Yeah.
Like it's predominant. I think it's Guyana.
Okay. Is that your final answer?
I hate Ty. You have them do this because every time they do this, it throws me. Yes, final answer.
Okay, yeah, you're correct.
All right, Ty, we're above 500.
There we go.
All right, moving right along. Let's go. Now, here's my hesitation at Hector. Hector has asked some brutal questions, but he is a friend of the show, and he calls from Puerto Rico, and I feel a special connection. So, Hector, I hope your question is decent today, but welcome aboard to Stump Rothenberg.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice. How are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just got back from the beach, you know, took a swim. You know, the weather is gorgeous over here. But, hey, and then later on during the afternoon, I'm going to go to one of these bars. There's going to be some live music until 10 o'clock.
So you guys are fully open in Puerto Rico, Hector?
No. We still got the lockdown until 10 o'clock. It starts at 10 o'clock, the lockdown.
Okay. Well, be safe. Be careful. What do you got today?
Okay. Hey, I got a movie. No Puerto Ricans today, okay? No Puerto Rican stuff today, okay?
Go ahead.
All right, now. All right, let's go Forrest Gump. The movie Forrest Gump. You know he played ping pong and he played football, right?
Yes.
Now, football, he played for Alabama, correct?
He did.
What number did he wear?
All right, Gump wore, I can picture it, I think 44.
Ah, oh, you're great, man. You
there we
great.
Go. There we go. And he played for the famous Paul Bear Bryant. What is that, 6-4 now, Ty?
You are indeed 6-4, my friend.
Okay. Let's continue, and let's go to Paul in Bay Ridge. Paul, you're next up on Stumpy.
What's up, Dave?
What's up, Paul? How are you?
How are you? Pretty good. I got MLB for you.
Okay.
Who was the last MLB pitcher to win 10 games without recording a loss?
Ooh. Ten games without recording a loss. Now, Clay Buchholz did, but I don't know if that's the answer. I remember the Mets had... Was it Leach? He was like a sidearm pitcher, and he started at 11-0, I think, one year. But I don't know that... that he finished the season undefeated. I think Clay Buchholz did, but I don't know if he was over 10.
The last one to do it.
The last one to do it, right?
Yes.
Honestly, I can't think of many more than Buchholz that did it, and I can't tell you that he was even over 10. So I don't have tremendous confidence in this question right now, at least in my answer to this question. I'm going to say Clay Buchholz, and I will leave it at that.
No, that's wrong. The answer is Aaron Small in 2005 for the Yankees, went 10-0.
Okay. What did Buchholz do? Ty, can you look up what Buchholz did? Because I thought Buchholz was undefeated in the season.
And, yeah, I'll be able to tell you that during the break.
And I'm confident that he did it after Aaron Small did it. But we'll look it up.
6-5.
He was 6-5.
You're 6-5.
Yeah, I was going to say Buchholz was better than 6-5. All right, let's go to Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, what's up, man?
What's up, Mike?
So here we go. I'm going Forrest Gump trivia.
We just had Forrest Gump. You want to go back to Gump?
Yeah, well, I mean, I clearly missed that, but, I mean, it's got to be a different question.
Unless he has the same one, in which I'll probably get it again.
Well, then I hope not, because then I'll feel kind of stupid. But, I mean, I told Kyrie, so I would assume he would have been like, no, we had that.
Make no assumptions with Kyrie. He's got a lot going on. Go ahead, Mike.
He does. And, all right, so what is Lieutenant Dan's last name?
Oh, God. Lieutenant Dan's last name.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Now, he married, if you remember, and he got the titanium legs. All I can think of is Taylor, but it seems too obvious. I don't know. Dan Tans, played by Gary Sinise, I know. Dan Taylor? Lieutenant Dan. Dan Taylor? Now I'm thinking Dan Taylor might be a name of a disc jockey. It might not be his name at all. I'm going to go with Dan Taylor.
That is your answer?
Oh, God. Ty, you have any idea of this? You won't even turn the microphone on to even...
No, I was looking up Clay Buchholz. I have no idea.
Dan Taylor, final answer.
You are correct.
Yes! What'd you find on Clay Buchholz?
All right, so currently you stand at, what, 7-5?
7-5, yeah.
If we go back to 2013, Clay Buchholz ended the season 12-1, but he did start 11-5.
No, but I think the question was finish a season undefeated.
Yes, he started. I was going to say he did start 10-0, but he lost that.
All right, so 7-5. I think we're done at 7-5, right?
No, he started 11-0. My bad. No, we're not done. I have a question for you.
Well, I know, but yours doesn't count because it's a different genre of question, really.
No, it's you got to guess who it is.
Yeah, but it's a clue. All right, go ahead.
I'm only going to give you 4 clues.
I don't know that that's fair, but go ahead.
All right. So this NBA player was the first ever number one overall pick who was the first foreign-born player to be selected number one overall in the NBA draft. Okay?
Foreign-born?
Foreign-born. I will continue. He is a two-time...
Well, Ben Simmons foreign-born, but it's not going to be him.
He is a two-time NBA champion.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Is that your answer?
Oh, God. I mean, can I get more clues?
Yeah, I'll give you more clues. I just want to make sure that's not your answer.
I'm throwing Hakeem out there to start, but let's see if you dissuade me from that.
Okay, he was drafted by the Portland Trailblazers.
The Blazers? The Blazers? Now you're confusing me.
That's what the point of this game is. So just to recap quickly, the first foreign-born player to be selected number one in the NBA draft.
Is it Michael Thompson then?
Is that your final answer?
I don't know. Can I get more clues?
Sure.
All right.
He also...
Well, it can't be Hakeem.
He also played for the San Antonio Spurs.
Played for the Spurs. I think Michael Thompson played for the Spurs.
So those are your 4 clues. You want me to
recap?
That's
it, and now I'm out of clues. Now, if I get this right, you'll give me credit, and I'll be 8-5.
Yes.
All right, well, it's clearly not Hakeem.
Would you like a recap of the 4 clues?
Yeah, I'd like you to walk me through it again, yes.
Okay. This guy was the first foreign-born player to be selected number one overall in the NBA draft.
So could be Hakeem, could be Michael Thompson.
He is... a two-time champion.
Two-time champion.
This player was selected by the Portland Trailblazers.
That's Michael Thompson.
He also played for the San Antonio Spurs.
I think he played for the Spurs. Definitely played for the Lakers.
Your legacy is on the line here.
I know it all is.
8-5.
I mean, it can't be Ewing.
What a disaster it would be for you to end on a sad
note. Can you
give
me a favor and shut up for a second so I can think? Really? It's got to be Michael Thompson. So wait. First foreign-born player, drafted by the Blazers, played for the Spurs, won 2 titles, correct?
That is correct.
I'm going to go with Michael Thompson.
Final answer?
Yes.
Listen, Dave, when you know you've got it, you've got it. Michael Thompson's correct. And I said, yes. I teased an hour ago, it's timely. Father-son duo. Of
the
course,
Father's
Clay
Day
Thompson.
Weekend, yeah.
Father's
yeah.
Day weekend.
There you have it.
And
there
I mentioned it was timely because Clay Thompson and the Warriors announced yesterday he's been cleared to resume all basketball activities. So
eight, now let's look at what we've done here. 8-5 after an 0-3 start. Can you give me some adulation?
You deserve tremendous credit. Well, here's the thing.
No,
you
I don't want to
never start 0-3.
It wasn't a great start, but I did, and I can't remedy the fact that I did. Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the law offices of
Andrew M. Cohen.
Whether the issue is simple or it's complex, the law office of
Andrew M. Cohen
can help you achieve your needs through very careful legal planning. Here's what you do. Right now, you don't wait till Monday. He's always available. 516-877-0595. Or visit amcohenlaw.com. Visit Andrew M. Cohen, the best in the business. And he brings us Stump Rothenberg every Saturday.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.